I'm John Batchelor, visiting with John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration, former national security advisor for the Trump administration, and his record extends well into the 20th century in the old days. But right now, John Bolton is writing for the New York Times about an old-fashioned word, fealty. This is a "Presidents Expect Loyalty, Trump Demands Fealty" essay in the Times. What does fealty mean, as you understand that would apply to the Trump administration, John?
Well, it really means something much different than loyalty. People talk about Trump wanting in his second term to make sure he's surrounded entirely by loyalists, as they say, unlike the first term when he had people who were not loyal to him. This is an important concept to grasp because people who serve in senior positions in the executive branch swear loyalty to the Constitution, to the document, to our institutions, not to the man or woman someday who occupies the office. That's not how Trump sees it, though. And he wants something more than loyalty, which for most Americans is a positive term. It's a virtue. When I say Trump wants fealty, he wants it in the feudal, medieval sense. He wants submission. And he doesn't want people who are going to give him truly candid advice. He's not going to say that. But he doesn't care about the constitutional loyalty. He wants fealty to him, the person.
You give an example. It's a hypothetical. If Mr. Trump orders that his choice for Attorney General Pam Bondi prosecute Liz Cheney for potential subordination and perjury before the House's January 6th committee, what will Ms. Bondi do? That's a tough question. I don't know, John. Would she know that her job was on the line if she didn't follow along with the president's intention?
Yeah, this is exactly the kind of dilemma in the Justice Department, in the Defense Department, some other areas of the government, the intelligence community, that Trump has in his sights. If he really intends to carry out a campaign of retribution, as he said repeatedly in the election that just concluded, the Justice Department is going to be the front line. And there are standards that Department of Justice prosecutors follow before they open an investigation, before they convene a grand jury, and certainly before they seek an indictment before the grand jury. If those rules are bent in service of political retribution campaigns, we are in serious trouble. And the first line of professional responsibility is the attorney general, and then her immediate subordinates, and then the line career prosecutors. And it's a real test of legal ethics here and professional responsibility if the political appointees at the Justice Department, who should know better, and I think many of them will know better, will they say to the president, "Well, Mr. President, that's just not possible based on longstanding Department of Justice interpretation of applicable statutes, evidentiary requirements, and any number of other things?" Or will they bend and simply salute and say, "Yes, sir, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do"?
As I read your essay, John, I was reminded most particularly of the Saturday Night Massacre of the Watergate scandal, how one after another members of the Justice Department were obliged to resign or did resign because they wouldn't obey the order of the President of the United States. What you're describing is that could become routine in an administration if it is fealty. Is that correct, John? Routine.
No, that's exactly right. And it would go deep into the structure of the department in many U.S. attorneys' offices. You know, even back in Watergate, when, as you refer to, the firing of Archie Cox, Attorney General Richardson and Deputy Attorney General Ruckelshaus recognized it was a lawful order. But they had committed that if they were told to do it, they would resign, which they did. Bob Bork, then the Solicitor General, also agreed it was a lawful order. And he said to Ruckelshaus and Richardson, "Okay, I'll fire Cox and then I'll resign." And the two of them said, "You can't do that, because if you do, there'll be resignations all throughout the department." And Bob Bork, to preserve the integrity of the department, did not resign, for which he was duly criticized by the left. But he did the right thing. There's no Bob Bork standing in the department today, and I don't see one coming. So I'm very worried about what the effect might be. Again, if Trump really is serious about what he said during the campaign about retribution, you're going to see the effect of it in the Department of Justice pretty quickly.
John Bolton, writing at the Washington Examiner on Syria, the risks, the possibilities, and in the New York Times on the Trump administration's use of the word fealty.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.